Hello, hello. Welcome back to the Radical Hope Project podcast. I want to go ahead and start off with a quote. This one's from Miss Maya Angelou, and it is from her poem, And Still I Rise. You may shoot me with your words. You may cut me with your eyes. You may kill me with your hatefulness, but still, like air, I'll rise. That one always gives me chills, right? So welcome back to the Radical Hope Project podcast, your stop to listen in on stories of resilience, advocacy, and hope. I am your host, Vanessa Cervantes, and I'm honored and just excited to be here to provide a space for these stories. The hope is to foster equity, diversity, solidarity among the students here at Cal State Long Beach, as well as our community members, our faculty, whatever human wants to come in and just share their advocacy story or whatever else is on their minds. We'll tackle conversations about purpose, passion, community, connection, stories of small acts and big impacts, and of learning and growing with each other, and just so much more. So today we have our first guest, right? My dear friend, my colleague here, Evelyn.
Hello.
Evelyn Delson Martinez. Let's do that.
Hi, everyone.
Yay. Hello. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So she is a triple threat. She's a singer. Just kidding. She is here as a master's in social work student in her second year. She works, she goes to school, she interns, she does it all. So I'm just so excited to have a conversation with her, because in this last episode that I did share about my father's resiliency story. Quick plug for y'all that haven't gone to listen to that one. Listen to that one. I also did a digital story about it. But I really was talking about what radical hope is to me and what resiliency looks like to me. And when I look at you, Evelyn, I think of the word resilient. Mm-hmm. I told her before this episode, I was like, should we bring tissues? Because, yeah.
Thank you.
I think a lot of times when there's a lot of adversity that we go through, just having hope in general is an act of resistance. Mm-hmm. So if you're willing and able to tell us a little bit about your story.
Yeah, of course. So yeah. I was only 7 years old when I myself immigrated to this country. I came from El Salvador. And it was really difficult for me because being in a new country, not knowing the language, I actually started second grade here and I got bullied because I didn't know how to speak English.
Oh my gosh.
And it was
kids
really
can
hard.
Be so mean.
Yeah, it was really hard. But then luckily, I think I was able to learn fast. And by the end of elementary, I was fluent in English and I knew how to write it and read it. So and now actually thinking back, it's like, well, now I'm a double threat because now I'm bilingual. Yeah. And it's a good thing. But I think just I've really seen the impact that one has when coming to a country that isn't yours and having to fight for your rights and having to navigate things that you don't know. And if it wasn't me going through it, I would see my mom going through it because she also immigrated to this country. Mm. And we faced a lot of hardships. But I mean, I think it's shaped who I am today. So I'm really, I think, excited to be in this program in general. And I've been a witness myself to how different systems can impact someone, not only my immigration status, but also dealing with the DCFS case. And if you guys don't know what that is, that's the Department of Children and Social Services?
Family Services.
Okay. Yeah. Department of Children and Families. So I was removed as a teenager multiple times from my mom's care because my mom actually would work a lot to provide for us, and her only coping strategy was alcohol, unfortunately. And me being the oldest of three, I always had to take care of my little siblings, and it was a lot. It was a lot to go through. But being in and out of foster care, I think that it really taught me how to remain hopeful and how important support people are to you, because, you know, not only social workers, but also the therapists I had, mm-hmm. All the programs that I was a part of. Like, for example, I was able to be lucky enough to gain citizenship through this, mm-hmm. through being in DCFS. And it's not something that, I mean, I can say I'm glad that happened, but I do feel lucky because now I see the challenges that people face who are undocumented. So mm-hmm. Even though it took some difficulties to get to that, I'm really grateful because now here I am getting my master's and I have this ability to work legally and be at school. And I know that so many of my peers, of my people, don't get that chance. And it's really sad to see. And especially with what's happening right now in this country, it's saddening because I know that there's a lot of others that want to spark change like myself, mm-hmm. and maybe they can't because they can't go to school, yeah. or they're being removed from their work. I see my friend's parents who are undocumented as well, working all of their lives and then just to be wanting to be sent back. I think it's really unfair. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think that's my passion behind this field.
I hear it. I feel it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and I'm really excited to be in it. And I think that the best thing that I could do is be a voice for those people and mm-hmm. be an example, because there's a lot of people in this country that believe that immigrants come and take away jobs or yeah. take away opportunities. Mm-hmm. But I can sit here and say that everything I've got, I've earned myself. Mm-hmm. Every job, every opportunity. And that hasn't just been given to me. The one thing that was given to me was my citizenship, thankfully. Yeah. But everything else I've had to work hard for. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that that's where I am at yeah. today. And yeah.
And kudos to you. I'm clapping for you because being here in this grad school program and just wanting to give back to the community, I'm always like, wow. I do want to just ask you, Evelyn. So there's a lot of different systems that you were involved in, right? So we're talking about your citizenship status. We're talking about DCFS, right? A case. We're talking about substance use, all of these different topics. How did you remain hopeful through all of this? What propelled you, or what was it?
I think for me, I'm very big on faith. So I think that believing in God helped me. Mm-hmm. I remember like in foster care, I used to just pray all the time mm-hmm. or like listen to worship music. I think just having faith in something that was bigger than me and just telling myself that it was going to be okay got me through. And the fact that even though it took some years, at the end of the day, I can always say it was okay. I was okay at the end, you know? And I think that's what keeps making me remain hopeful. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and even to today, I think that sometimes when I go through things, I think my faith in God has still kept me going. And the fact that I've seen it before, I tell myself, I've been down before and I've been okay. So I think that it's going to be okay some way, somehow. I don't know how, but mm-hmm. it will be.
And I just want to add that to me is radical hope right there. And that is a form of resistance, to have hope even when adversity is right in front of your face, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's actually nothing really good happening in front of you, but you choose to stay hopeful.
Yeah.
That is a form of resistance right there, if I haven't seen it myself. But I will tell you that in hearing your story, it gives me chills because like you never gave up through that entire time. And it makes me think of the clients that then you serve and how helpful you are to people, right? Mm-hmm. Because then you sit there and you're just like, okay, well, I can see all these different systems oppressing you. And not only are we going to work to change those systems, but now I get to work with you. Mm-hmm. So what kind of things do you use with your clients, with the people that you serve?
Yeah, sometimes I think it's hard to be in this field because you want to do so much more. Mm-hmm. And I sit here and I listen to my clients tell me like, well, I wish this and that. And I'm like, I know, trust me. Like, I wish I could do that for you. I wish I can spread my wings and make a magic wand, poof all of your problems away, but we can't do that. So I think the best next thing for me is just to be there for them, provide the support that they need, because maybe a lot of them are like me, an oldest sibling who doesn't have any support from anyone else. Or maybe it's a mom that has little kids and they don't have support from a partner or whatever it is. Or maybe it's a teen that doesn't feels misunderstood and they don't have anybody there for them. So I think just being there for them is the main thing. But I think also I'm very resourceful, so I try my hardest to provide any sort of resources, try to come up with ideas, being creative, because I know that sometimes financially it helps people financially, or even just socially, joining clubs, groups, it really helps people. So I think that's another thing that I try to bring, and also just empathy. Like, I can sit there and be with someone and feel their pain and just sit with them and be like, I get you, and I'm here, and I'm not gonna leave, because sometimes that's all that we need, just somebody there and to sit there with you and feel it.
The word that comes to me is connection. Mm-hmm. Right, you mm-hmm. just make sure to have a connection with that person.
Yeah So yeah, it's interesting how my path has got me to where I am, but I think that it wouldn't have, I wouldn't see it any other way now, and I'm really glad. Like, a lot of my clients that I work with, I see myself, I see my mom, I see my siblings, I see someone, and I think that it helps me remain passionate about what I do, and it helps me be, you know, active and ready to continue my work in this field.
And I get to witness, everybody listening, I get to witness this woman in action as she advocates for her clients and our practicum. I see how hard she works all the time, you know, even through tears. This woman will wake up and she will go and she will give her best. So I just want to thank you for the work that you're doing. And I just know big things are going to come for you. I thank you for being so vulnerable and sharing your story with us.
Yeah. Thank you.
I do just want to wrap up with our final question of the night. So what is radical hope to you, Evelyn, when you hear that? What do you think?
I think that means to me, like, action, change, and radical, right? That's what I think. Action, change, advocacy, power, and then the hope. It's just like being like I said, things are going to be okay and we can't give up. And especially if we're all together and united, I think that we could do it. So I think that's what it means to me. It means people, power, connection. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here again. I am honored to have this space for you. As you all know, please follow us on social media. We are over on Instagram under Radical Hope Project. And then we also have our website, which is Radical Hope Project as well. So you can click on our Instagram, which will take you to the link. If this episode resonated with you, if you have any future ideas, please let us know. Remember that no matter how tough things get, stay radically hopeful, because the future is shaped by those who dare to believe in it. Until next time, keep dreaming, keep doing, and keep believing. And again, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.